Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved master, the last and final prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna anjaakum يوم القيامة من أهوالها ومواطنها أكثركم علي صلاة في دار الدنيا O people, indeed, the person who shall be saved earlier from the accountability and terrors of the day of Qiyamah shall be those of you who sent abundance of salawat upon me in the dunya. My dear brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah, we heard the excellence of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, it is up to us how close we want to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how quickly we want relief from the terrors and accountability of the day of Qiyamah. In the dunya, the more we recite Durood-e Pak, the more quicker we will be relieved on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. So inshallah, let's try to develop this beautiful habit of reciting Durood Sharif upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, أفضل العمل النية صادقة. A truthful intention is the best action. Therefore, my dear brothers, whenever you have the opportunity to perform any permissible act, then we should pause and reflect upon the purpose. Ask yourself why you're doing this. Alhamdulillah, the lovers of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam have gathered here to take part in the beautiful and spiritual gathering of Dawat Islami. Whilst we are here, we could increase our intentions so that we get more reward and blessings from Allah Ta'ala. Some of the intentions that we should have in our mind, those who are watching this program, you could also follow and make these intentions that we will listen to this program till the end. Inshallah Azawajal, we will gain Islamic knowledge. Today we will be discussing a very important topic, and that is how to increase rizq, how to increase sustenance. What can we do that will improve our sustenance that we have? How can we increase blessings in our rizq, in our livelihood? And these are things, inshallah, we'll be discussing. We'll be sharing some important tips for you as well, inshallah. So please make sure you listen to the speech till the end, inshallah, so you can reap full blessings, inshallah, azawajal. Let me start off with a beautiful narration. Our beloved master, the messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by one of his sahabi, a companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the world has turned its back on me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, do you not remember what the angels glorify Allah Azza wa Jal with, by the blessings of which rizq is given? When Fajr begins, recite Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi Subhanallahil Azim Astaghfirullah. This Sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu remembered these azkar, these litanies, these orad. He memorized them and he left. He practiced this. He recited these azkar, this tasbih and istighfar. He returned in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam after a few days and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the wealth of the dunya came rushing to me such that I did not know what to take and where to put this. Allahu Akbar. Just try to comprehend and understand what has happened. A sahabi, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came in the court of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm struggling with the difficulties of dunya. In other words, I'm going through financial crisis. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him a beautiful tasbih and istighfar to recite after Fajr prayer. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi Subhanallahil Azim Astaghfirullah. And Subhanallah, just after a few days, this individual, this sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he benefited so much that he came back and returned in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, the wealth of dunya is rushing towards me. I'm getting so much wealth that I don't know what to take and what to leave and where to put this. Allahu Akbar. Sayyiduna Sahal bin Sa'd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu explains how a man complained of his poverty to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In reply, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, give salam to your family. Look, this is the remedy for poverty. Give salam to your family when you enter your home. If nobody is inside, then present salam to me and recite Qul huwallahu ahad, the entire surah once. Subhanallah. The companion radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was going through poverty, who was going through difficulty, he acted upon this wazifa. And it was so simple and easy. And what was it? To give salam to your family when you enter your house. Whenever you enter your house, it is from the sunnah of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to give salam. As soon as you enter, you see your family members with a big smile, with love and affection. Give salam to them. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let the whole family know that you have arrived. Give them salam. And if nobody is at home, then recite, say salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And recite Surah Ikhlas. Qul huwallahu ahad. Once, the entire surah. So this sahabi, he acted upon this and became so wealthy that he began distributing his wealth amongst his neighbors and his relatives. Allahu Akbar. This is the high level of trust and yaqeen and belief these companions had in these kalimat. The power of tasbih. The power of being obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let's recite Durood Sharif. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, rizq, sustenance, livelihood is a great blessing from Allah Ta'ala. It is mentioned in the glorious Quran, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. The translation, then when salah is completed, so disperse in the land and seek Allah's benevolence, lawful sustenance. After finishing the Jumu'ah salah, it is permissible to engage in matters of livelihood. After performing your Jumu'ah salah, you are allowed to go out and look for livelihood. This verse informs us of how sustenance, the livelihood, the rizq, is a blessing and bounty from Allah Ta'ala. It's a favor the risk that we have, the financial means that we have to live our life. This is a great virtue, a blessing from Allah Ta'ala. My dear brothers, of course, it is not good to in love with the wealth, to drown in the love of the wealth. That's not a good thing, because this leads you to destruction and it ruins the individual, not just in the dunya, but also in the akhirah. However, wealth and rizq, they are such things that they are our need. Without this, we cannot even meet the basic necessities of our life. It's something that we have to have. Without wealth, we will struggle. We will go through difficulty. And a time may come that we might have to ask other people, please, can you give me some money? Please, can you help? So it leaves a very difficult position in life. Wealth allows us to take care of ourselves and our families, our children. If we have wealth, we won't become poor or have to ask anyone else for help. We can only give charity and attain many excellences of giving sadaqah that comes with it, the blessings that come with it, if we have money to give at the first place. So if you don't have the money, if you don't have the charity, if you don't have the means, how will you do charity? How will you give zakat? How will you give to the poor? The financial rights of our family members, neighbors, this also can be fulfilled if we have the finance. If we don't, then the burden of looking after our family, neighborhood, and if there's anything that they need, be in a position that we are not fulfilling their rights. If you have the means, if you have the wealth, inshallah, this will help you to build a masjid or a madrasa for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. If you have the wealth, then inshallah, azawajal, this will help you to travel for the beautiful journey of Hajj and also the beautiful journey and to give your attendance in the court of Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam in Madinatul Munawwara. We can only do such things with wealth. By having enough halal wealth to fulfill our needs, it will be easier to save ourselves. If we have the halal means, if we have the wealth, this will also protect us from the shaitan's traps, the tricks of shaitan. Our beloved master, the last and final prophet of Allah, Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wa Alayhi Wasallam, declared, كَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَن يَكُونَ كُفْرًا. Soon, poverty shall take a person to disbelief. Poverty, if you look at it generally, and if you look at various narrations from the prophetic ahadith, we see that there are many benefits and virtues of poverty. And being poor itself, the state of poverty itself, is nothing something bad. It's not something bad. However, if someone is in that situation, he is struggling, he is poor, if that person is also accompanied with gratefulness, being thankful, always appreciating what that person has and is thankful, then this becomes for the person to have blessings even in the state of poverty if he's happy in the state he is in. However, if a person begins to complain, instead of being thankful, instead of saying thank you Allah Ta'ala, instead of saying Alhamdulillah, a poor individual, he starts complaining and he says certain things in the court of Allah Ta'ala which are disrespectful, then this state of poverty can become a reason for destruction for that individual. People become helpless when there is nothing to eat. For some, it is extremely difficult to look after themselves and protect their faith when they are afflicted with test of hunger. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from this difficulty. It's something that majority of us, even those who are watching this on Madani channel, majority of us, we may not be able to comprehend this and understand the pain and difficulty of a person who is being tested, who has been even a day or two that goes past and he's tested due to hunger. He doesn't have the means, he doesn't have the meal. He doesn't have anything to put in his mouth. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. But definitely it's something which is very difficult. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from this difficulty. My dear brothers, sometimes a person who goes through difficulty, goes through pain, who goes through financial crisis, and he starts complaining. He starts saying, Ya Allah, why me? Why not someone else? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. These such unfortunate people, because they are desperate in need, they're ready to do anything, to grab anything. Even a small morsel of food, even a penny. To grab a penny, they will do anything. Sometimes people lose their mind. They go out and they go and rob and do burglary. They take other people's possessions. My dear brothers, and there are such people, in the name of earning sustenance, they go to such a level, they forget the boundaries of Sharia. They go to such a level that on certain documents, to go to another country, just to attain a visa in a country, they will go and declare themselves as a non-believer. They write down that I'm not a Muslim. And in return, someone gives them financial lead, that if you write this down, now, if you say that you're not a Muslim, then we will give you X amount of money. We will give you this visa. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. But this is the reality. And we do know that in our society, there are people who go through such, you know, avenues to reach out to sustenance, to get something to live. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us. But it is essential for us to know that whatever we have, we must be happy, we must be content, we must be thanking Allah Ta'ala in every state that we are in. And never, you know, lose the trust and belief in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers, we are discussing the importance of earning livelihood. There once lived a great scholar. Many of you who have heard this name, Sayyiduna Sufyan Thawri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Just before he passed away, he took out a bag of gold and silver coins and said to the people who were around him, give this as a charity in the way of Allah. The last moments of his life, he said, he had a bag of gold and silver coins and he said, give this in the way of Allah Ta'ala. People around him who knew him very closely, they said, Ya Sayyidi, you taught us to avoid wealth. You always told us, you informed us, you encouraged us to stay away from the dunya, from the wealth. Yet, you gathered the wealth yourself. Please, tell us what is the wisdom behind this. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala, explained, I used this to fight any trick of shaitan attempted with me. So any of the traps and tricks of shaitan that were hit towards me, I used this bag of gold and silver coins against that trap. Whenever shaitan tried to make me worry that I don't have anything, whenever shaitan tried to bring evil thoughts in my mind that I'm struggling, then I would say to shaitan that I have money to spend for this. I have the money. I'm not poor. So they use this wealth, Allahu Akbar, as a tool to go against the tricks of shaitan. Subhanallah. My dear brothers, when we study the life of the great scholars of Islam, we see that their lifestyle is an example for us all. Subhanallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal allow us to learn from such examples. It is completely permissible, it is halal for us to earn as much halal rizq as we need. There's nothing wrong with it. It is fine for it, it is okay for us to earn halal rizq and to search and to accumulate, to gather this as much as we need. It is permissible to save money so we can tend to our basic necessities. So for example, you have a goal in your life. No, you need to save up to buy a house for your family. You need to save up to buy something that will be part, that will help you to live your daily routine. To save up, you know, to meet your necessities is fine. You can do this. However, the basic necessities of each individual changes due to the climate, due to their own scenario. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to accumulate wealth just enough so that we just focus to live our life in such a way that we don't need to ask anyone else. So we don't need to beg. So we can be independent. And we can only rely and trust in the court of Allah Ta'ala. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. My dear brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, the question is, how can we protect ourselves from poverty and financial problems? How can we increase our halal rizq? What can we do? Now, before discussing this, let me share with you a beautiful hadith pak. Please listen to this narration with full focus and keep in mind your own current situation. There might be some people who would probably regard themselves as poor, and there will be some people who will regard themselves as rich. So whichever category you put yourself, poor or rich, reflect upon your situation and listen to this narration. Our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, the world is for four people. The dunya is for four type of people. First is a person whom Allah Almighty grants wealth and religious knowledge. The first person is that who Allah Almighty grants the wealth and religious knowledge. He fears Allah Azza wa Jal in the matters of wealth, conducts himself well with family, and fulfills the rights of wealth for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. He uses the wealth in the right way. This person is of the highest rank. So this person, what did he possess? He possessed the wealth and the religious knowledge, ilmi deen. Then comes the second person, whom Allah Almighty provides knowledge, but no wealth. He's got religious knowledge, but he doesn't have wealth. This person says, if I had wealth, in his mind, he has this wish. He has this firm belief. And he says, if I had wealth, I would copy the good deeds of so and so person. I would imitate the good deeds of so and so with it. So if I had the wealth, if I've got knowledge, but I don't have wealth. But if I did have the wealth, then definitely I would do all those good things that that individual is doing as well. He has that belief, that intention, very clear intention. Their reward, both of these type of people, one person, he had the wealth and religious knowledge. The second person, he had religious knowledge, but no wealth. But he had good intention. For both of these people, it is reported that these are equivalent. Their rank is same. Explaining this part of the hadith, scholars say that this means a rich person who spends his wealth properly and this poor person both earn the same reward. One is rewarded for spending the wealth and the other simply for his good intention. Allahu Akbar. Then comes the third type of person whom Allah Almighty provides wealth but no knowledge. The second person, he possessed knowledge, no wealth. Third person, he possesses wealth but no knowledge. This individual, he indulges in the wealth without any thought. And this particular part of the hadith refers to a person who earns from every source imaginable. He won't look at this is halal, this is haram, this is legal, this is illegal. He will grab everything. Just to accumulate wealth, he will go to all the limits. He'll break the limits. He'll cheat, he will lie. regardless how, if it's halal or haram, the only thing will be in his mind is, I just want wealth. He also spends his wealth in halal and haram places. He does good things, but he does wrong things as well. He is not a scholar, nor does he spend time with the scholars. He does not fear Allah Almighty regarding wealth. He doesn't care. He's not bothered. He just, you know, he's got loads of wealth, regardless of how he earned it, he just splashes it out. He does not fear Allah Almighty regarding wealth, does not behave well with family, does not fulfill the rights of wealth. This individual is the person at the bottom level, the worst level. It's a very sad state to be in. Then comes the fourth type of person, whom Allah Almighty does not provide wealth nor knowledge. So he doesn't have both. He doesn't have wealth, he doesn't have knowledge. He says, if I had wealth, I would imitate, I will copy the deeds of so and so, corrupt, wealthy people. He will look up to those people who have a lot of wealth, who do a lot of dodgy things. He will be looking at them as role models. And he will have this wish that if I had the wealth, you know, I'll do all sorts of things. And because his intention is evil, due to his intention, then their sin is the same of these both people. My dear brothers, the sin of the corrupt wealthy person and the ignorant poor person is the same. Allahu Akbar. This astonishing hadith teaches us many things. It shows no matter what state we are in, rich or poor, wealthy or destitute, we must learn Islamic knowledge. From here we understand the greatness and the significance and the importance of Islamic knowledge. My dear brothers, wealth, money, is like fire. It is only useful to those who know how to use it. You know, we live in the winter at the moment, and people like hot foods. How do you get hot food? It's cooked. It's cooked by the heat, by the fire. So those who know how to use the fire in the right way, they benefit from the fire. Otherwise, if you don't know how to deal with the fire, you will burn. The way to control and use this fire for your own benefit is to learn Islamic knowledge, regardless you are poor or rich. And that's the message for all of us to keep in mind, that regardless of our circumstance, our financial level, it is essential for us to learn Islamic knowledge, to learn the knowledge that is important to us, that is relevant to us, that will help us to live a better life, that will help us to be thankful and be content and have patience in our life. After quoting this hadith Pak, one of the great scholars of the past, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he makes a beautiful dua, subhanallah, and this dua all of us should make as well. He writes, may Allah Almighty give us Ottoman wealth and save us from Abu Jahl wealth. What does Ottoman wealth mean? This refers to wealth which comes with Islamic knowledge. It also means money earned from halal means, spent in halal places, and that which is given its due right out of fear of Allah Almighty, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azzawajal. And what does Abu Jahl wealth mean? If someone owns Abu Jahl wealth, it means he has wealth but no knowledge. He earns his money from haram, spends it in haram, does not fear Allah Almighty regarding it, and ignores its rights. We also make this dua, Ya Allah, O our Rabb, grant us Ottoman wealth and protect us from Abu Jahl wealth. Ameen bijahin nabil, ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers, another beautiful tip to increase halal rizq. Our Rabb, the Most High, announces, declares this in the glorious Quran. In Surah Hud, verse number 3. وَأَنِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُمَتِّعْكُمْ مَتَاعًا حَسَنًا إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. The translation, and this, that ask forgiveness from your Lord, then repent to Him. He will provide you excellent living until the appointed time. My dear brothers, Allah Almighty instructed His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to command people to repent from their previous sins, to ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness, to do tawbah, have remorse and be guilty and ask Allah for forgiveness. They were also told to make firm intention to not sin in future. Whoever repents sincerely and wholeheartedly devotes himself to worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, that person is granted a huge amount of rizq. Someone who wholeheartedly devotes himself in dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, in worship, and he asks for forgiveness, that person is granted huge amount of rizq. Their life is made easy and Allah becomes pleased with them. And Allah becomes pleased with them. If a difficulty comes their way in this dunya, the fact that Allah is pleased with them means that difficulty becomes a means of them increasing in rank. My dear brothers, in another place, our Rabb Azza wa Jal says in the glorious Quran, and this is the statement of Prophet Hud alayhi salam, وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ وَلَا تَتَوَلَّوْا مُجْرِمِينَ. And, O my people, seek forgiveness from your Lord and then turn towards Him in repentance. He will send rain in abundance upon you and will add strength to your present strength. And do not turn away whilst committing crimes. In the commentary of this verse, it is written in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, that when the people of Aad rejected Prophet Hud al-Islam and his message, Allah Almighty did not allow rain to fall upon them for 3 years. Allahu Akbar. Because the nation rejected the message of Prophet Hud al-Islam. Allah Almighty did not let the rain come, did not fall for 3 years. A severe famine set into effect. Their women were made infertile. When panic and worry increased, Prophet Hud al-Islam promised, if they believed in Allah, repented to Him, and accepted His messenger, rain would fall again, and they would be granted new lives by way of fresh greenery that would spring forth as a result. They were also told they would be granted strength and offspring. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, from these verses we learn that doing istighfar, asking Allah Almighty for forgiveness, the wrong that we have done. In fact, if you go a step back, first of all, you need to realize that you're doing wrong. You need to admit your faults. Admit your faults in the court of Allah. Our Rabb, Allah Ta'ala, is aware of everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. Therefore, Let us sincerely repent in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Do istighfar. And on daily basis, I'll ask Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness. If you are sincere, you do tawbah, you spend your time in worship, inshallah Azza wa Jal, Allah Ta'ala will become happy with you. And if our Rabb is happy, then we got everything. In the dunya and the akhirah as well. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to understand the significance and the importance of tawbah. And also, if we really want to increase our rizq, then it is important for us to adopt taqwa, piety in our day-to-day life. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to act upon these different types of tips that we have learned today. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to be thankful in every moment of our life. Ameen, bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair. Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.